code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. But there's a code of silence and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. On March the 10th, 2008, I always ask newcomers to look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com and go over the material that's available for free. Lots and lots and lots of talks over the years on the histories and the people who brought us to the position we're in right now as we go through the big transition into open global governance, as they call it, which is just another form of tyranny. And the big boys at the top make no real bones about that. The pretense of government as we've had it was just that, it was a pretense. Also, we can do Alan Watt Sentinel.eu, where you can find transcripts of a lot of the shows in the various languages of Europe. That's the hard part in this world, as we go through the transition. People are trying to hold on to what they think is normal in a time when all the normal has been already destroyed. We're in flux. And when you're in flux, eventually you'll find all new kinds of new norms are brought forth from the top, because all culture is coordinated at the top and promoted downwards to the public, who simply adapt it to their own lives, adapt the opinions, the views, and all the rest of it. And that's why we're in flux. We're in flux now because it was intended that all the old world, everything that used to be, has to be destroyed. And we have to be all accepting. That's the key to it. All accepting of everything. And that means never-ending acceptance of everything, that it becomes new. And when new types of humans and so on are presented to the public, they've already been conditioned through movies and fiction to accept it. After all, we're all human. So it says, even with the movie Artificial Intelligence, we saw that theme being pushed over and over and over again. And the Millennium Man, I think it was called as well, with Robin Williams, I had the same idea. To get the message across to the public, what is human? We have trans this and trans that, and now it's going into post-humanism and transhumanism as the old type supposedly dies away. And to the average person, they think we're just evolving, and it's happening as science just opens pages and finds things out for the first time, and nothing is further from the truth. The sciences that are published to the public and what they apparently discover were known a long, long time ago, even with genetics. That is why in the 1920s, the big players were very confident and published lots of books on the coming society, the eugenical society, where everyone would be programmed scientifically, and also eventually would all lead into a eugenics program with people who are allowed to breed and those who are not allowed to breed. We also see fertility rates dropping like a stone, and that was also forecast because the big boys had lots of meetings which they published, world meetings on reducing the population, where they discussed all the methods to bring that about, including the food, water, and everything else that we take for granted. Therefore, when the United Nations publishes the next sperm count, which is about time that they did it, they always do it every year, and it's down 75% or probably 80%, it'll be no big deal. They never back up why it's not a crisis, because it's intended that way. Back with more after these messages.
Hi. Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You know what that song is? You've heard it before. It's called Rally Round the Flag. Kind of makes you feel good, doesn't it? Like you're proud to be an American. That's what Ron Paul is, a great American, and he needs you to rally round with your own Ron Paul flag. Ron Paul flags can be mounted on your home or RV, as a banner, or flown beneath the American flag, or by themselves. You decide. Just fly your Ron Paul flag proudly after you order one, two, or more from RonPaulFlags.com. Choose the Ron Paul Revolution flag for just over $43 or the Ron Paul 08 flag for the same price. Order two or more for a $6 discount. Go to RonPaulFlags.com and see what these great flags look like. That's RonPaulFlags.com. Put your state on the map as a Ron Paul state. Visit RonPaulFlags.com. Today.
Reports are coming in from all over North America about wild MPG.
My 97 Honda Civic went from just over 31 miles per gallon to over 50 miles per gallon.
My 98 Plymouth Breeze went from just over 38 miles per gallon to over 77 miles per gallon.
My 95 Ford F-150 went from 12.7 miles per gallon to 33 miles per gallon.
It's not a hybrid.
It's not an electric.
Wild MPG is an inexpensive modification that gives you incredible savings, a cleaner engine, better performance, more horsepower, less dependence on foreign oil, and better gas mileage.
Far better gas mileage.
Find out more at WildMPG.com.
Wild MPG means more money in your pocket.
The Wild MPG kit is absolutely guaranteed to increase your gas mileage by at least 50%, or the cost of the kit will be refunded to you. Visit WildMPG.com.
WildMPG.com.
Welcome to the revolution in fuel economy technology. WildMPG.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix. This big, thick mass that clouds reality, and we have distortions of our perceptions, which are well backed up by repetition, as Mr. Russell said. Repetition does wonders. And eventually, when all your friends are repeating the same stuff, you know, you'll be the odd one out if you don't go along with them. They'll think you're odd. But that's all right. That's a good sign that you're actually waking up and you're looking at the robots around you. And that's when decision time comes. If you want to remain in the land of robots and talk robo-speak, or do you want to say something that matters, and hopefully someone out there will hear it. That's what I do, trying to cut through this incredible scientific indoctrination we've been given, the very indoctrination that was written about and spoken about in many lectures worldwide by Lord Bertrand Russell, the scientific technique of indoctrination. And he did mention it wouldn't just be through school, it would be long-lasting, it would be your whole lifelong, in fact, continuing education through propaganda. And they brought on board the big marketing companies to make that happen, and it's been tremendously successful. We also find CIA, MI6, and other big spook agencies have been running the culture industry since at least openly, well, amongst themselves since the 1950s. Now they're only admitting that they've been doing it. That also goes with the fashion industry, and I always tie that back to Plato's Republic, written 2,300-odd years ago. We talked about this very technique of creating a reality for the masses, and how even then all culture had to be authorized from the top down, because anything coming up from the grassroots could have unforeseen consequences that would cause ripple effects in their system. Therefore, everything is authorized, even the rebellious outputs that every generation are given by the fashion industry, that they're designed for them, is all okayed. And when we go back to the writings of Charles Galton Darwin, quite a big character up there with eugenics. He was also a physicist in the 1940s and 50s, and he wrote The Next Million Years. And in that book is almost a question-answer type of scenario, almost on the style of Plato, where you have these dialogues with real or imaginary people. But it's a way to get their information out to their own friends. And Charles Galton Darwin, the grandson of Charles Darwin, you find it's interesting because their purpose is hereditary. It's tremendously interesting. It's so closely inbred that the bankers will turn out bankers who will stay bankers. And the guys into eugenics and so on will stay in the same field for generations. They're almost like clones of their parents, are so inbred. And it's the closest thing there are to clones, is when you have 3, 4, 5, 6 generations of inbreeding between two families. But he talks about the structure and function of government. And he said, on page 193, he says, if transportation is easy, world conquest will be easier, both for military reasons and because the more uniform culture should make the world government more acceptable. A uniform culture. And this is happening right now. People think we're living in diversity, but they're not. You see, when everyone has no moral opinions about things, everything's relative, moral relativism, then you think that anything goes. And who does it serve? Now, those at the bottom might think it serves us, but it's reserved those at the top, because they introduce the new norms as we're going through letting go of all the old ones. Very simple technique, and you have to be able to look at both sides of everything to understand the big picture. He goes on to say too, this is Darwin, widespread wealth can never be common in an overcrowded world. Always been a big problem with these guys is overpopulation. It says, and so in most countries of the future, the government will inevitably be autocratic or oligarchic. This is what we've got, you see. Some will give good government and some bad, and the goodness of or badness will depend much more on the personal merits of the rulers than it does in a more democratic country. Whatever forms the government may take, there can be little doubt that the world will spontaneously divide itself into what I call provinces, that is to say, regions. Now remember, he wrote that back in the 1950s, and that's what we have under the United Nations today, and we're amalgamating the Americas and so on. So he talks about regions, though with no permanently fixed boundaries, which possess some homogeneity of climate, character, and interests. I use the same word whether the different provinces are federated together or whether they are what we should now call separate sovereign states. How large will be these provinces tend to be? That will depend on the means of communication and transport, and so once there arises the question of whether the fuel problem is solved wholly or partially or not at all. In the past, the chief means of communication was through the horse, and the countries of Europe are still mostly size adopted to suit this almost extinct means of transport, though some of the new, more modern countries do show a trace of the influence of the railway. None of them are really of a size suited to the motor car or the airplane or to present power production, whether by coal, water, etc. If the fuel problem is solved completely so that mechanical power and transportation is available in the future to a greater extent than even at present, then the provinces will be large. For example, the whole of Europe may well be one, and the whole of North America another. He then goes on to describe how human nature is not designed to live in cities, something that the ancients knew. The ancients knew that in the stories of Nimrod, there's only one name for the same character that was worshipped in every country, at one time. And Nimrod was always given the title of the city builder along with his wife. The city was the first artificial structure to contain people. And within a city, since nothing is grown, then they cannot support themselves. They need money to do it, a substitute for barter. And they can then hire people, which is the first hired army as well, and then off to conquer other city-states and rural areas. So this system goes back a long time, and that's what they call the beginnings of civilization, the building of the city-states. That's what it's all about, an artificial system with a religion behind it. But Galton Darwin himself understands this. He knows his history, and he has access or had access to archives, as all the big ones do, archives that are kept closed to the public, where the real histories and complete histories are kept. Some professors admit to this, that the maybe one in 60, one in 80, are eventually given access to certain archives. And even then, they have to be very careful what they're allowed to tell the public. So people should read Charles Galton Darwin's The Next Million Years. A fantastic read, because everything he talked about then wasn't coming from his own mind. He'd been at many, many global meetings in his day with the elite, his own class, where all of this was discussed. Again, back to the city, he said that even though it's an unnatural state for people to be crowded into cities, he talks about them being easier to control by the authorities because they're dependent upon everything that they need for survival, ultimately from those authorities and their the sort of pipelines of food, water, etc. that come through. And he said through scientific training, they could become used to it and maybe even made to be dependent upon it, thinking it was the most natural thing that there was. Those who've grown up in cities don't realize that prior to the Great Depression, in the Americas especially, most folk, 97%, lived outside the cities on the land. And that's where they were far healthier, mentally and physically. The Depression was the means to get them into the big cities and to lose their land. And you see the effects of it today. And now everyone is under layer upon layer upon layer of massive bureaucracies and various organizations of enforcement, from child welfare all the way up to the police and military and all the rest of it. Quite a system we live in. And yet, because it's been done incrementally, it seems quite natural to most people. You turn on television and your favorite sitcoms are on, the world must be all right. Very, very simple. So people should look into Charles Galton Darwin's writings, because, as I say, he wasn't speaking off the top of his head. But he does mention, too, that the creation of a creed, which is a religion, would be very helpful, very, very helpful, because it could last a few generations, where simply appealing to the morality of people along a certain pathway doesn't work too well. But the religion does. And what he was referring to was the New Age, what's now called the New Age. It's something that's been promulgated for the last, at least since the 1960s, much more openly and heavily, although they started it in the late 1800s by Blavatsky and others. Because you've got to have a religion to keep the people acting uniformly. Even though they're all thinking they're doing their own thing, they're not. They're being very, very uniform, because they're given the choices, limited choices of what to pick, but really they all lead along the same pathway, which is a form of mind control. And the New Age has worked wonders. It's been marketed primarily, initially, towards women, because they understood the psyche of the female, and they gave the men sports and crazy stuff like that. We're all understood perfectly well and manipulated by the scientists. Back with more after these messages.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hi, Alan Watt back. We're cutting through the matrix. And just mentioning one of the bigger boys who put a lot of information out to the public. It's not too interesting to most of them. There's no sex or violence or throwing puppies off cliffs, as the American troops like to do. The products of the state giving them the morality. But books like Galton Darwin's are really indispensable for understanding the big agenda and to show you that all of the things you're being told today were planned and set up to be instituted a long time ago. There's nothing happening at all, not one single phase of this transition phase by chance. Here's another thing that Darwin said, page 191 of The Next Million Years. He's talking about the regions, these provinces, these trading blocks. Consider next what are likely to be usual relations between the provinces. It's too much to expect that there can ever be a permanent world government benevolently treating all of them on a perfect equality. Such an institution could only work during the rare occasions of a worldwide golden age. To think of it as possible at other times is a misunderstanding of the function of government in any practical sense of the term. If the only things that a government was required to do were what everybody or nearly everybody wanted, there would be no need for the government to exist at all, because the things would be done anyhow. You understand what he just said there? He's telling you there's another function of government. The real function of government is to control the people for someone else, a higher minority, in fact. It's not there to keep the people happy. And he goes on to say, this would be impractical in the idea of the anarchist, but if there ever are to be starving margins of populations in most parts of the world, mere benevolence cannot suffice. There would inevitably be ill-feeling and jealousy between the provinces, with each believing that it was not getting its fair share of the good things, and in fact, it would be like the state of affairs with which we are all too familiar. If then there is ever to be a world government, it will have to function as governments do now, in the sense that it will have to coerce a minority, and indeed it may often be a majority, into doing things they do not want to do. So he's telling you, in his day too, it was working just the same way. It's not there to please you. It's not there to serve the people. It has another purpose. And they use coercion into getting their agendas through, not for the happiness of the public. On page 99, he says, civilization has taught man how to live in dense crowds, and by that very fact, those crowds are likely to ultimately constitute a majority of the world's population, talking about city-states. And you notice that the UN a few years ago started to advise that we increase the size of the cities to be called super-cities or city-states. It seems to provide a model. Now he says, already there are many people who prefer this crowded life, but there are others who do not, and these will gradually be eliminated. Talking about the rural people. Life in the crowded conditions of cities has many unattractive features, but in the long run, these may be overcome, not so much by altering them, the conditions, but simply by changing the human race into liking them. You understand what he's saying there? Do you understand they can make us think anything is normal and even get us to like the abnormal? Quite simple. Quite simple. They understood humanity a long, long time ago. We are the most studied species on the planet. Now we'll go to the phones. Look up Clarence in Oklahoma. Are you there, Clarence?
Yes, hello, Alan.
Yeah, go ahead.
I love your program. This is the best expositions I've had since I graduated from college. This is like my college extension class right now, listening to your talks. And you said so much, you know, and I started out, but the last thing you said is absolutely true. You can get people to accept anything if you have the rules.
Yeah.
The first thing I wanted to say was brought it about. I remember my grandparents, and I'm 56 years old. My grandparents, the ones that lived that I knew, they lived through the Depression. And like you said exactly what I was going to say. At that time, the United States was mostly agrarian.
Yep.
So it didn't have that big of an effect. It had an effect. It did, but these people, they farmed. What I want to say is, governments, and that's why the family farmers have been pushed off their farms.
Mm-hmm.
This was done by design.
Yeah.
And has been. You know, that's why you got Archer, Daniels, Midland, and ConAgra,
yep,
and all these people. They don't want small family farmers, and they're pushing them out because they're independent.
Mm-hmm.
They can live independently, and the controllers, those that are above our government. That's where there's one thing they hate is undisciplined or uncontrolled slaves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they want us all to be eventually. And
yeah,
that's what they're working on.
They're working on. The United Nations, if you look into the Department of Agriculture, remember they were just the metamorphosis from the League of Nations. They said farming was too important to be left to small farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you hold me over?
Sure. I'll be back with more after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Hi, I'm Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix. And we have Clarence from Oklahoma on the line. Are you there, Clarence?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many things I could, I've listened to your show and others so long I could talk about, but what I want to say is that there is a, this thing's been going on, and as you well know, and this is what I've been learning, I have a bachelor's degree from a land-grant university near where I live. And I think listening to your show long enough, somebody ought to somewhere ought to give me at least a master's, you know, after I figure,
yeah,
listen to you. But that doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Those things don't mean, those are just imprimaturs of the people, the elites, the ruling people through the education system. And I understand that now.
Yeah.
I understand what I've been through. And I finally woke up, and they don't like people that wake up because they can't control them. They, there'll be people that'll be out, you know, saying, "Hey, wait a minute, there's something wrong here." But I, beside that, what I wanted to say is that this is, but I did take a college course back 30 some years ago at a local junior college before I went to the big college. And I had a sociology instructor who, and I since I woke up, I now remember, this came back to my memory. I had forgotten this class. He was quite a character. He was very unconventional. And I doubt if he's in teaching right now as unconventional as he was. Actually, the guy reminded me of George Carlin. He was rather opinionated. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, he went to the blackboard. Remember when there were blackboards and chalk? And
So
he went up there. He drew three triangles on that blackboard.
Mm-hmm.
He said, these represent pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
He told us that right at the beginning. These represent pyramids. Then he went to the very tip of each one and drew a horizontal line to the top of each one, equal at the top of that each pyramid. He said, the first pyramid is academia. The second pyramid is the government, military, everything. That the third pyramid is the corporations, the bankers,
mm-hmm.
all that. Then he started drawing. He took from those little tips. He would draw lines with a little arrow from each one to look like missiles going over the top of the earth at a nuclear war. He drew all that. He said they are interchangeable.
Yeah, yeah. It's a power structure, as I say, that goes back thousands of years. And people realize there were corporations even thousands of years ago. They formed combines, used to call them combines, where they had similar interests in resources, etc., and markets. And they were really international corporations. Even as early as Sumer, the priesthoods mm-hmm. there literally took track of all commerce coming in and out, and drew up all the legal papers, and even chiseled them in stone, and there's thousands and thousands left there, which people are still reading. And it traded with India, and even set up Bahrain as the main country that was a staging port for trade with India, and that was that their prime commerce was putting wool out there. But they also had lawyers, which were priests as well, which dealt with land divisions and the breaking up of other lands to smaller pieces and who owned them and so on. And they had taxation systems for everything, including death duties when you died.
Yeah.
Nothing is new. Nothing is new. And these characters understood mathematics and geometry to a very high degree. So they'd already inherited sciences from a much, much earlier period, obviously. When you trace the Phoenicians, for instance, a term broadly used for people who literally had the world's trading routes, the ancient world, for maybe a few hundred years, and kept it all so secret, they never told anyone else where they got their resources from. The Phoenicians set up literally factory towns with slaves in them, and they financed wars, too, from all their profits, and from every country they'd take over. Generally through debt, because they introduced money to those countries and then got them into debt and took over the countries. They created bigger and bigger countries we now call empires. They were empire builders, and they used everyone behind them as a slave. And nothing really has changed down to the present day. When we see that other third pyramid that exists with corporations, international corporations, inside that same pyramid you'd also find thousands of what we call institutions. And it's an interesting word, institute. It's something that's not quite public, but it's supposed to serve a public good according to whoever implemented it and authorized it. And you'll find it's the same boys at the top that run the money, who run the institutions, and they are completely integrated. And armies, again, were recruited by the Phoenicians from the slaves, from the conquered peoples. They would become slaves, they put them into a military and use them as slave armies. Today it's different. Even this guy, Charles Galton Darwin, said something awfully interesting. There's always existed a form of slavery. In previous times, of course, it was much more obvious. You were either born or taken into slavery. And your children, if you had children while you were in slavery, that belonged to the master as well. That was part of paying off the debt. And we're doing the same thing today through a different means. It's through taxation and debt and national taxes and national debt, something that you'll find even the founding fathers talked about, a generation born into paying off the debt from a previous generation are de facto slaves. Nothing has changed here at all. It's the same system. And now the world, the throne of the world is their goal. And by careful working and networking, incredible incredible communication and networking for the last, say, 100 years, more openly, by their publications at least, that they're pretty well, pulled it off. And they said there would be no opposition to this. They said that there can only be one standardized world, one standardized culture. And the United Nations, when it started up, said, oh, yes, we have diversity and you can keep your sovereignty, culture, etc. That was the big lie that they told, because you go back further in the United Nations, and here they are telling them that the League of Nations in 1917, they'd have to do the same thing, standardize a world culture, and then introduce eugenics, etc., etc., etc. So they're born liars, they con the public, but they also control us through all the entertainment they give us that we think is for our benefit. It's destroyed conversation. It's destroyed family life. No one talks in a family anymore. They just stare at television. And people don't have opinions of their own, although they'll fight you to keep the opinion they've adopted.
Exactly. Yeah. And I want to mention one more thing, and I'll let you go back to any other callers and everything. What I've also noticed, what all these people from these empires and from, you know, the ruling elites, and they've been here all along, they change names throughout the millennia. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're here. It's a matter of the human race is nothing more than a little tribe that grew big.
Yeah.
And what they've done is it branched out, and think about it. I saw a thing. I watched the BBC News this morning. They had an article, a little deal on Kazakhstan.
Yep.
Stalin moved all of, that was his big prison colony, was Kazakhstan.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kazakhs are less than 50% now, but they're, since they became independent, they really aren't, but they're starting to assert their culture again.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent people from all kinds of nations and cultures and religions from throughout the Soviet Union there to prison camps.
Yep.
Of course, a lot of them got out, and they're going to, and the Kazakhs were originally a nomadic people, like that's what the nature of the human species is.
Mm-hmm.
And they told about how they took their language away, and they taught them Russian, and now they're trying to learn their language back. I myself, here in Oklahoma, I am one quarter blood quantum Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, I know only about two or three words of that language.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing there, they did the same thing to my, not just my people, but all the other tribes, because there are so many other Native Americans.
What you'll find with people, with this system, is that there's many ways to define genocide when you realize how much goes into, it's not just killing people off. Britain was very good at that, too. You'll find very few people in, say, Scotland, for instance, now who can speak Gaelic.
Mm-hmm.
So for our generation, it was forbidden to speak it on pain of death by London.
Mm.
And they sent teachers up to ensure that that's all it was taught to the children, to destroy any remnant of memory of that culture. And they did the same the world wide over. Wherever they've gone, they've done the same thing. And the same thing with American Indians, and forcing them into another religion, etc. But definitely, it was mandated they could not speak their religion in classroom. They were brutalized, even in Canada here. There's cases going out in the West Coast right now, the brutalization, and it's by the Anglican Church that sent in the ministers and teachers. They were awfully abusive to the children there, to an awful extent, if they tried to use their own language in school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's called genocide. That's all part and parcel of genocide, to destroy and eradicate a culture.
That's exactly what my ancestors, a quarter of them, experienced.
Yeah.
I'm one of those, you know, people. The other quarter are from where you're from, and from, you know, Scots, Irish, Dutch, German, all of Europe. The rest of me is European.
Mm-hmm.
But I always identify with the underdog and the people that were, and those other people that were sent over here, the regular people, they didn't know what they were doing.
No, they didn't.
The
best way to get them across was to create famines at home or drive them off their land. They cleared them, and Scotland was cleared. They called it the Highland Clearances. That was by law. And it was the redcoats with the bayonet and the big cannon They literally took thousands and thousands of people and clans and put them on ships and sent them abroad to depopulate the country.
Gosh.
Yeah. But thanks for calling, though. I have to go on.
Yeah, I sure appreciate it. It's been great talking to you, Alan.
You hang in there.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Now we've got Z in California. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, hi, Alan.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot for taking my call, man. I do appreciate everything you do. You have one of the best shows out there. I do appreciate it. I have a question for you. Actually, I have two questions for you. First question is, have you ever read Isaac Asimov's series, the Robot series books?
Yeah, years ago, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of my favorite series. But the fascinating thing about that is that all the citizens of the Earth are living inside of giant domes.
Yes.
And they're petrified of going outside.
Yes.
Because of a biological threat that they perceive.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been so conditioned that they cannot leave.
Yeah.
And these giant super cities is what kind of you were talking about earlier. So I think, what is your thoughts on that? Is that some sort of a foreshadowing of what's going to happen? Or?
They knew back then that they'd have to create some incredible scenario to terrify the public for total control. These characters will pull off whole world con games on a grand scale to get their way. It's like when they went to the moon, and as a child I saw the flag fluttering on the moon. When they stuck the thing in, I said, well, there's no air on the moon, why is it fluttering in a breeze? You talk about incredible con games that are pulled on a global scale. And it's like Adolf Hitler said, if you're going to tell a lie, you tell a big one.
Yeah, and, the bigger lie is, easier.
Yeah, and so this whole scenario to get folk into domes is quite real.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of documentation here from people working with the United Nations where they've got all these drawings of these domes, even ones for the elderly, ones for the workers, etc., etc.
Yeah.
These are going to be the new habitat areas of the future. But I spoke to a top architect who is also one of the richest guys on the planet. Architecture is his hobby, and he owns hundreds of companies and other corporations, this guy. Galen Weston, his name is. Prince Charles is on his polo team, not the other way around. And he showed me some of his drawings back in the early 80s that he'd done, and it was exactly the same thing. It was these massive domes, sort of geodesic-type domes.
Yeah.
It was covering the whole of what would then be the next Toronto, a much smaller Toronto, but a Toronto nonetheless. And I said, well, where's all the other houses? He said, oh, they won't be there. And he said, all traveling will be done underground by a subway, so people would never go into the open air.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like what is happening in these books is this exact same thing. This is exactly it. And Asimov was known to have... contact. He knew what was going to happen.
He belonged to the futurist society.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Now, my second question is, I forgive me if this is something that's common knowledge, but are you in any way related to Alan Watts?
Philosopher? I've got relatives, certainly, all over the place. Even some apparently went to California.
Yeah.
And they owned some oil fields in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But,
Fascinating. I was just wondering because you guys had a very similar name. So, thank you very much for everything you do. You do an excellent job, and keep it up. Don't ever stop doing it.
Yeah, I'll try my best.
Keep it up, man. Take care.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, and so everything that happens, as I say, was planned a long time ago, and yet when they bring things forward to the general public, it's as though it's a response to an immediate crisis. That's how it's presented to us. Yet, these characters were talking about these massive dome cities back in the 60s that we know of, and publishing it in science fiction books, and then doing drawings in the 70s and 80s on the same scenarios. And just to get back to Galton Darwin for a minute, talking about slavery, when he said that the world has always had slavery in one form or another, he said we are simply in the process, this is the 1950s, we're simply in the process of creating a more sophisticated form of slavery. What he meant by that is a system where you'll be truly, truly in belief that you are free. In fact, you'll think you've never been so free. And look at it today, when about 60% of people's incomes through various taxations, direct and indirect, is taken right back out their pocket again. taxation is a form of slavery when your labor is taxed. That's the law. That's the law, you see. It's always been the law. It's always common law, too, long before they put it in books. And yet the people do it as though it's all quite natural because their parents did it, too. As I say, mammals and the offspring of mammals, the offspring look to the adults for signs of danger and what they should be wary of. If the parents don't know, the human parents don't know, then the children won't think there's anything odd about the society which they're brought up in. And we've got a generation growing up, which is exactly what they wanted, who will think there's been terrorism forever. They'll never know a time without checkpoints and ID cards and eventually chips. They'll think it's always been here. We've always been under some kind of weird attack. And that's essential for their plan. Back with more after the following messages.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, I'm Alan Watt. Cutting through the matrix, we've got a couple of minutes to go and we have one caller. We'll try to squeeze him in. That's John from Chicago. Are you there, John?
Yes, Alan, I'm here. Yeah. I just had a question. Actually, I've been going through your website over the weekend. I've been watching all the videos, and I was actually thinking about picking up the books, but I had a question regarding the shows that you have, Ancient Religions History, whether any of that information is pretty much the same as in the books, because it's kind of expensive to get the CDs too. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering, do you recommend getting all the material, or would the books be enough for me?
The books are good in their own sense. It's meant to wake a person up to a different way, a different style of writing. I don't go through stuff boringly and dryly. I shock people by symbols and statements and showing you how the language itself is coded, which works on your mind. You're literally programmed. But whereas the CDs go into a lot of the histories, the ancient histories, done through the centuries of the techniques that were used on other peoples up to the present time.
Okay, thanks, because actually that sounds very interesting, because that's actually, ever since I've been a kid, I'm like very, very interested in history, and not like a particular scholar remembering dates, just trying to learn and stuff about, you know, where we come from, where we're going, I guess. So you would recommend getting the books with the audios, too?
Yes, it certainly complements. It gives a much bigger picture to realize just how old the system is and how it's been implemented before in different phases by using these techniques. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye now. And here's a little statement before I finish with Charles Galton Darwin. Again, a guy who belonged to the Future Society, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and all the big boys who run the world and run the real government. And on page 189, he said, he's talking about the slavery being existing down through society, done through time. He says, one of the triumphs of our golden age has been that slavery has been abolished over a great part of the earth. It's difficult to see how this condition can be maintained in the hard work of the future with the starving margins, and it's to be feared that all too often a fraction of humanity will have to live in a state which, whatever it may be called, will be indistinguishable from slavery. That's page 189. So you understand that nothing is new. Nothing here at all is new. We're going through right down to gender issues, transgenders, post-humanism, all that kind of stuff. It was planned a long time ago and long before Darwin came out with this stuff in the 1950s, following his granddaddy's agenda. This was always known, and they've been implementing it all down through the ages. Even the sexual revolution was tested in the 1920s. They went back to the drawing board, got the pill. They worked fervently to get the pill, bring down the fertility rates too, by other means on the males and females, which have been very successful, which they've never openly admitted to actually doing. They admitted to wanting to do certain things with inoculations and so on, and food. And we see it plummeting, and that was all planned, as I say, when our grandparents were born. Quite amazing, isn't it, to realize you're just living an agenda. As the media keeps telling you, you're on the cutting edge. You know all there is to know. And they bring forth experts at the bottom level every other day, well, every day in fact, to keep up this pretense that we're just evolving on a daily and weekly basis. Quite the joke, isn't it? Well, from a still cold Ontario, Canada, it's good night from Hamish the dog and myself, and may your God or your gods go with you.
With recent